I got up this morning, was going over the sermon, and one thing, it was too long. It was about an hour long. Plus, it would sound better during the Feast of Trumpets. So I asked God to write me a new one this morning. He wrote me one, and it's short. So everything's working out just right. It's always good to see the Kellers come back from Africa healthy. And one of my prayers for them when they go over there is that they always have air conditioning. I know it's up around 100 degrees or more over there, so that's one of the conveniences and blessings that I always pray that they have. So that's good that they gave a good report on that as well. We do have a lot of conveniences that can also cause us a lot of troubles and problems. You know, and after seeing and hearing the stories of the people over in Africa, you know, we really need to be thankful to God for all of the wonderful blessings that we have here. But a lot of these blessings can cause us some problems as well, too. For example, a couple weeks ago, my company computer, my laptop, crashed. And I get about, between 30 and 40 emails a day that I have to respond to. And so I had to send my computer in to Columbus, Ohio, to our home office, to our IT department up there. They have it fixed. And they gave me a call back on my cell phone saying that it would take about 2 weeks to fix this thing. They had to order some parts or whatever they had to do for it. But as I noticed, you know, at first I was wondering, you know, how am I going to get along without this? I manage two businesses, and how can I do this? But after a few days of not having to get up and download all this information and respond and everything, I started to feel pretty good. I mean, this was a stressful thing that wasn't there for a while. But then reality set in, and the UPS man brought that thing back in about 2 weeks, and I had to do catch up on all the old emails that were stacking up over that 2 week period. But there are a lot of things that can give us stress that we don't even realize. You know, it is stressful to go through all those emails. It is stressful to respond to all those. And in this day and age, they want you to respond instantly. I refused to get a BlackBerry because I didn't want to be completely tied to it. I do have an air card to where I can use my computer in the car if necessary, but you know, I did refuse to get a BlackBerry. I don't want to be responding as I'm driving, so wanted to get out of that part. But there are a lot of people, you know, that are having stressful problems in our church around the world. They have different kinds of difficulties, different kinds of health problems that are life-threatening, and we have. They're brothers and sisters that really need our prayers about these things. For example, Mr. Harold Rhodes. I mean, what a horrific thing he is going through in the hospital. I haven't heard his latest condition, but I certainly hope and pray that he is feeling better and is on the road to recovery. But I don't know how long it's going to take him to, you know, to get over this one. Also, Mrs. Carolyn Williams, JR's wife. She is in the Hendersonville Hospital, going through some very stressful things. They put her through all kinds of tests imaginable that she is going through to try to help her. And I think last night JR was telling me they had to put a what's called a pick that goes up through your arm, goes up over your shoulder, and down into your heart to where they can give her medications through that. I mean, so there are some real stressful things. And I know that they would gladly take a crashed computer as a problem as opposed to that. So, you know, I really don't have anything to gripe or complain about, you know, on my side of the fence. But there are different stresses that can stress a lot of people out. And there's a lot of people that are out of work in the economic condition that we're in right now. There's a lot of people's out of work, and when bills roll in and you are stressed over trying to think how you're going to keep the lights on, you know, keep things going, there are many things that can stress us no matter where you live in this world, but we do have wonderful blessings in this country. That is for sure. We need to be thankful to God for all the ones that we do have. We need to roll with the punches a little bit better. If you will, let's turn to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. The title today of my sermon is Be Led by God's Holy Spirit. Be led by God's Holy Spirit. Let him be the leader of us. Matthew 6, let's start in verse 25. It's Jesus speaking. He says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life." You know, like I said, with all these different things that are going on in us, and we live in this physical world, we are physical, we do have stresses, we do have worries, but Jesus is saying, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, and they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. God knows what we need. Are you not more value than they? Yes, we are. We are the top creation of God because He is putting together His family. Verse 27, which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? You know, there's nothing we can do, really. God is in charge. So why worry? Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Verse 29, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30, now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today is here and then tomorrow is thrown into the oven, the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? You know, God does not want us to worry about things. He wants us to depend on Him for everything. You know, and with all the luxuries that we do have in this country, and all the little gadgets that we have. You know, we take God's blessings for granted. Something that we need to do a lot of thinking about this. The main thing that Jesus is saying here is that make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, where you're going to live, what kind of job you're going to have, what are you going to be doing. The primary concern that Jesus is talking about here, what He wants us to have, is to make the kingdom of God your main concern, your primary concern. Because God is preparing a people. He is getting His family together for the world tomorrow. We are called for a greater purpose than just living today in the flesh. You know, some of us, we will begin to think, you know, especially when you're real young, you start thinking, well, you know, I'm going to live for a long, 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 long time. I'm not going to worry about dying. But in this flesh that we're living in, it is extremely temporary. We will die. We will die. But we start to think that we're invincible. We think that we can do things on our own. We think just because of us, we can do it. But our primary concern needs to make the kingdom of God. That should be our primary concern. That's what Jesus is wanting to tell us there, because God is preparing a people. Our Father God called us, and He taught us what sin is. You know, before you knew anything about God's law, you really didn't know what sin was. But through God's Word, He has taught us and shown us in the calling that He has given us. He taught us what sin is. He has taught us that we must turn from it. If we want blessings, in Deuteronomy 28, blessing and cursing chapter, He makes it extremely plain. If we obey Him and do what His will is, He guarantees to bless us. And if we fail to do that, He guarantees that there's going to be some problems that we're going to be having. It's going to be a lot of curses that are going to be happening. And He also taught us to repent, to turn from sin. And that's what we need to keep our mind focused on. He has given us understanding and discernment, of course, of baptism and of the laying on of hands and receiving of His Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to lead us through this life, to be prepared to be changed in a twinkling of an eye when He changes us into spirit beings. This physical form that we live in, This little temporary ceremony is only a little blink, a little glimpse of what life is or what life will be. Can you imagine? I'm sure Carolyn Williams and and Mr. Rhodes and many of the others who are in the hospitals hurting, they long for the day when you're changed to be a spirit being where there is no pain, no hurt, no physical problems that we have now. And that will be a wonderful, wonderful time. But that is something that we need to keep our eyes focused on so that we can be trusted enough to be changed into a spirit being. But God is preparing His people. And He is getting His family together to live forever and ever in the world tomorrow. With baptism and the laying on of hands, we receive a very small portion of God's Holy Spirit, you know, compared to the size of a mustard seed, some have put it. But it is a powerful, powerful part that God puts into us. It's His power that He puts in us, and it will grow in us if we do our part in believing, in being obedient to God's laws and His statutes and His will. God's Holy Spirit will dwell in us even more. And it is God's power in us, because as we study and learn God's Word, our faith will grow. We will depend more on God. And God's Holy Spirit then will grow in us, inside us. And that's what we want to happen, is to get the old man of us out and let God live inside us to guide and direct us. Just think of it. God's Holy Spirit is God's power dwelling and living inside us. It's almost too fantastic to even think of. How wonderful to have God living in us and guiding us and talking to us in that relationship that we can build with Him to keep us safe. God's Holy Spirit helps us understand just how much of a close relationship we need with Him. God's Holy Spirit is guiding us through each situation in our lives, and that relationship that God wants us to have with Him is that we will always want to choose to do His will, to be obedient to Him. He doesn't want anyone that is going to be going contrary to His laws. That would cause the Holy Spirit to vanquish from us. But that's what our Heavenly Father is giving us the opportunity to do, is to do our part, so that we can be in His kingdom. God is preparing His family, and it's high time that we come to the realization that our physical bodies will not last. They are decaying as we are sitting here right now. From the first day that you're born, you begin to die. You will flourish for a little while, just like a flower, like it's described in the Bible. Just like a flower will flourish for a while and then die. Go to the oven, so to speak. Go back to dust from whence we came. We have this little opportunity to have that relationship with God, and that's what we need to be taking advantage of. It's very important that we take advantage of our calling and not let the seed fall on the stony ground, so to speak, that is spoken of in the parables. We want God's Word to be in us, and we need to embrace God's Word and His Holy Spirit in us, His power and the knowledge and the faith that He is giving us through this calling that He has called us to. We need to take advantage of that wholeheartedly, to depend totally on God. He is our Creator. He created us, knew us before we were born, and He will bring us through this life safely, so that we can enter into His kingdom in the world tomorrow as a spirit being, just as He and Jesus the Christ is right now. We don't want to let anything take our mind off of being obedient to God. Oh, we'll be tested from time to time. We will be tested from time to time. And it's like Mr. Kellers was talking about, you know, that we're going back to see how the congregations are doing. They're talking about how are they growing. Are they growing in God's Holy Spirit? Are they being obedient? That's what they were going back to look at. They wanted to see how the people were doing. Wanted to know what was going on there. But we need to take advantage of the calling that God has given us And we can't let anything get in the way to take our minds off of that. The day of Pentecost is coming up very, very soon. And it is a reminder that God poured out His Holy Spirit to establish His church to a group of believers who are led by His Spirit. How willing are we to be led by God's Holy Spirit? That's the question we each of us need to ask ourselves. How willing are we to be led by God's Holy Spirit? Again, He is preparing His people. Choice is really ours. Are we going to be willing to be led by God's Holy Spirit? Just as He did on the day of Pentecost, those who were willing to be led, He poured out His Holy Spirit on them. Although we have God's Holy Spirit, we still sin. We're still physical. We still sin on a daily basis, no doubt, in our minds. Romans 3:23, you don't have to turn there, says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And Deuteronomy 5:29 says, "Fear God and keep His commandments." We still sin, but God will help us to repent daily. But we have to be willing to see the sin that we can't just brush it off and, you know, and not have any response to it. God will show us that we have sinned, and then it's our choice daily to repent of that sin. He wants us to always turn from that. He doesn't want us to just kick it under the rug. He wants us to repent daily on that. And humankind does have a heart problem. You know, with all of the academic knowledge of God's laws, that really does not enable us to think like God. We have to have God's Holy Spirit in us. It has to be living in us. I'll give you an example. My Aunt Sarah, my mother's sister, she has been long dead for many years now, but I remember as a little boy, she would read the Bible to us kids, and I remember neighbors coming by, and they would ask her questions about the Bible, and she could quote the scriptures, had them all memorized and everything, but she really did not know how to live by God's will and by God's laws. She lived a completely different life. And the part that she was doing with memorizing the scriptures and all that was all just a show. It was fake. You have to have God's Holy Spirit living in you in order for you to really understand how to obey God. That discernment is not there on your own. God's way of thinking gives us many benefits. Gives us peace of mind. When you have that relationship with God, you can relax, not completely relax off of not obeying God, but you can. It takes a fear out of your mind that you are doing what God wants you to do. It can give us happiness. It gives us love and concern for others. You know, we are kind of born selfish. Me this, me that, I want this for me. You know, I have to be first, that sort of thing. But with God's Holy Spirit, God gives us concern and love for others, that we want to help others, care for others. I was talking with Mike Kelly a little bit earlier, and his wife's a father died, and he was saying that they got cards from all over the country, plus even outside of the country. And he said it was really good to know that we have a family in the church that loves and has concern for each other. How wonderful that is. That is one of the blessings that God gives us through the power of His Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Luke 10. Luke 10. Luke 10, and we'll start in verse 25. Jesus is in conversation here with a lawyer. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" verse 26. And he said to him, asking back with a question here, he says, "What is written in the law? And what is your reading of it? Or what is your understanding? What is your discernment as you read God's law?" And so the lawyer responds back to him and says, he answered and said to him, and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said back to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." We have to be willing to respond back to God's Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit will guide us and direct us, but it's still our choice if we're going to choose to do right or wrong in obeying God's laws. As Jesus responded to the lawyer here, "Do these things and you will live." Let's turn back, if you will, to Matthew 22. We'll get another take on this. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, and we'll start in verse 36. Again here, Jesus in the conversation, they say, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets and the prophets." God wants us to love one another. He wants us to love our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, in Africa, no matter where they are located around the world, whoever they are. God created humans, and we are to love all of them. They are all our neighbors. That's the attitude that we should have. The essence of God's law is love. That is the essence of God's law. Let's turn over to Romans 13. Romans 13. We'll read verses 8 through 10. "Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law." Verse 9. "For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there are any other commandments, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." It can cover a multitude of sins, our very own. God's Holy Spirit is God's power at work in us. You know, there's been a lot of different churches that get that really confused, and they think the Holy Spirit, you know, is a person. But God's Holy Spirit changes lives. God's Holy Spirit is not another person. Again, it is the power of God working in our lives. And they get the wrong connotation of the Scripture there. And it's probably someone who doesn't have God's Holy Spirit to understand that. That's where the Trinity came into practice into many religions and congregations around the world. It is not another person. It is the power of God that is working in us and through us. Let's turn over to Acts 1:8. Like I said, this is a short sermon today. I won't be taking too much time, but there are a few places I'd like for us to touch on here. Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus speaking, But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth, all over the earth. You shall receive power from God's Holy Spirit. We are making right decisions. We are doing things that is going to help others, showing love for one another, and it comes from the power of God's Holy Spirit. Also, let's turn over to Romans 15:13. Romans 15:13. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit working in us and leading us. We have to allow God's Holy Spirit to lead us. We don't want to be bucking against God's Holy Spirit. Bad things will happen. If God wants to teach you a lesson, He will teach you through His power. But God will bless us if we are obedient and we allow and make right choices to be obedient to Him and allow His Holy Spirit to live in us, to have that fertile ground that allows God's Holy Spirit to work in us, not the stony ground where it bounces off. You know, for as many are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. And that is Romans 8:14. You know, if you allow yourself to be led by God's Holy Spirit, you are counted as one of the sons of God. And in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, you don't have to turn there, but it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Not one that's going to be jumping back and forth, thinking your own way or thinking of things in the world that can draw you away. You'll have a sound mind to start living your life according to God's laws, according to His will. You know, and we can stop all of the stress and all the worry if we obey God and depend on Him and allow Him to lead us. I was talking to a lady one day that had a lot of problems, and she was worried about one of her family members. And she prayed about it, and I asked her if she prayed about it, and you know, what did she expect out of it, and this sort of thing that we were talking about. And I told her, I says, "Now stop worrying, just stand still and let God work it." And she said, "That's the hardest thing in the world for me to do. Hardest thing in the world for me to do is to stand still and let God work it." She was trying to do things on her own. And she was allowing herself to be stressed and full of worry when she could have just turned it over to God and stood still and let God work it out. Because things are going to work out anyway. God will work them out one way or the other. But that's one of the things that can really help us stop our worry and our stress in our lives, is to allow God to lead us and then stand still and let God work it out. In closing, Pentecost serves as an annual reminder that our Father, our Creator, works miracles every day for us, takes good care of us, He feeds us, He blesses us, He heals us. We know by His stripes we are healed. We must put our faith in God, in what He says. Stand still and depend on Him to see us through. He grants His Holy Spirit to the first fruits of His spiritual harvest that He is picking, He is calling right now. And He gives us the power to carry out His work in this world and prepare a people that is going to be in His family, that's going to live forever. What a wonderful thought to be able to live with no pain, no suffering, no hurt, to live forever as a spirit being in the family of God. Again, let's stop worrying about things about this life and let's put our emphasis on God's coming kingdom. Let's think about that goal. And when we have problems and troubles and worries, let's start counting our blessings, thanking God for all that we do have. Allow yourself to be led by the power of God's Holy Spirit.